You're on.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Monday, August 20th, 2012. My name is Sally Baptist. I'll be hosting the show tonight, and my co-host is Charlie Klein. Tonight, we're going to be continuing our discussion from Thursday, where we're going to talk about the complaint that we filed against the both houses of Congress, against the Senate, U.S. Senate and the U.S. House of Representatives for breach of fiduciary duties and violation of oath of office because they haven't passed the budget. And we have a little bit of a tip to tell you about House Resolution 2372. You might want to write that down, House Resolution 2372, and what that has to do with our complaint. We think we may already have them guilty as charged kind of thing, so we'll talk about that in a few minutes. And then the other part is to get into back into the discussion about Agenda 21 and what it really means. And I had recently sent out an article that was from Canada Free Press. And Canada Free Press puts out there, if the U.S. goes away, there is no freedom anywhere. I mean, the U.S. is the only place on this planet that has freedom. And so when you think about what Agenda 21 is doing to us, destroying us, turning us into slaves, the word serfdom was in the article, and some of these things, you realize how important it is. You realize that this is real. This is happening. This isn't a dream, and that we all have to get together and protect this country. We have to honor the American's creed that says we will fight and defend this country. We will honor the Constitution. We will honor the rule of law, and we will defend this country against the enemies. And the thing about enemies, foreign and domestic, we should not assume the enemy is Al-Qaeda all the time. Yes, Al-Qaeda is an enemy, and I wouldn't say anything different, but the truth is, My own personal belief, as I see it, I shouldn't say the truth, but as I see it, it's the government, you know, those who are elected to public office, the public servants who are making policies, selling us off to the United Nations, signing away our rights, taking away our rights, these types of things, they're the ones that are destroying this country, not to mention their fiscal policies that are forcing us into bankruptcy, which will also cause the fall of this country. So if you think the United States of America cannot fall, if you don't think the fall of Rome really happened, if you don't think the United States of America can fall like the fall of Rome, you probably don't think 9/11 happened either. It can happen. And it will only happen if we the people become we the sheeple and do as we're told by the government, the dictators, instead of us telling them what to do. We the people, they govern by us. We are the ones, we give them consent. They seem to be totally confused on what this part is. They seem to totally have lost their focus, lost their way on what their job is. So we have to remember it's up to us to do this. And Neil Rice is going to be joining us here shortly. And also Karen Schoen is going to also join the discussion about Agenda 21. But before we go there, Charlie, why don't you go ahead and give an update on all the things, the responses we've been getting to the complaint. It's been amazing what's happened over the weekend. And then when we're ready to talk about House Resolution 2372 on the second part of this task, then I'll get back into it or we'll go from there.
Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We've had a very eventful weekend on Friday. We had a wonderful person from down south called Mike, and I can't remember his last name because it's like Dershowitz, I think it is.
Yeah, and that's close. It's not quite as close.
Yeah, but he wrote an article in BizPack, and it was all about the lawsuit. And ladies and gentlemen, it's a beautiful article. So anyway, that is out, and that is now going national. Another great thing that happened was that on Sunday, a friend of ours, who happens to have all 535 emails addresses for Congress, sent the lawsuit to every House and Senate representative. 70 of them bounced back, probably because it was on Sunday and the servers were probably full. However, 460 House members and Senate members received a copy of our lawsuit. And the more we're hearing about it, the more, how would you say, motivated we are in regards to what we are doing for this great country of ours. Today, I received a phone call from an older gentleman, 81 years old, Bob, up in New York, who writes and also has 2,500 people that he emails to. He liked what we're doing, and he is also going to send the word out to those people, to many of those people. Ladies and gentlemen, more and more people are getting on to the fact that we have a Congress that is totally out of control and totally in violation of our Constitution, which is our protection from tyranny. If we, the people, do not stand up and do what is right, we will lose this great country. You will lose your freedoms, and you will lose your liberties, and you will lose your property. Right now, I just saw it on TV, on Fox News. People in California are going to be assisted by the taxpayers of America, and in regards to their home loans, their mortgages, because they owe too much money. And I'll tell you, it is actually something where taxpayers who have worked all their lives are going to be paying for these people who didn't have common sense enough to buy something that was how would you say, their responsibility. We the people are not in the business. It is not our responsibility to pay for somebody else's mortgage. My house is paid for. I'm 77 years old. There's nobody that helped me pay for my house except me. Now, where's my share? Am I going to get $100,000 from taxpayers? I would not take it. That is not the American way. Oh, and the gentleman who did the wonderful article on us is with BizPAC Review. BizPAC Review. His name is Michael Dorstowitz, and he is in Miami area. And his website is www.bizpacreview.com. They have a lot of wonderful articles in this. And for those of you, our patriots, our fellow statesmen, I strongly urge you to visit this bizpacreview.com and take a look at it. It's got a lot of nice reviews in it, and they're short, to the point. And tell your friends about it, because the more people that get this communication, this honest communication, this American communication, the better off we're going to be. Because really, if you take a look and listen to your ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, they're all local. In fact, Diane Sawyer, who does usually a wonderful job on broadcasting and anchoring shows, her world news tonight is about sleeping pills, fat reduction, buying America, and items that have nothing to do with the world. No more news from England, Afghanistan, Iraq. None of that, no. What they're doing is they're dumbing down the American people by covering up what is going on in Congress and across this great country and also overseas. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you really want to make this country great again, I want you to look at bizpacreview.com and also americanstatesman.org and pull up our complaint, our lawsuit, and send it to all your friends. Okay, Sally, I think it's back to you.
Okay. And let's see here. I'm putting a little info out there in the chat room for those. If you want to read the article I was talking about earlier about Canada Free Press, the article is called Agenda 21, The Agenda That Wasn't Really There. And it's really interesting, some of the information that's in it, and just talking about, you know, if we don't stop it, we're all going to be slaves. It's a road to serfdom. And some of the key quotes in this, and I'm going to give you one key quote that I had in this thing that I copied out of it. The best definition of Agenda 21 comes right from the UN itself. In 1993, the UN published Agenda 21, the Earth Summit Strategy to Save Our Planet. Agenda 21 proposes an array of actions which are intended to be implemented by every person on Earth. It calls for specific changes in the activities of all people. Effective execution of Agenda 21 will require a profound reorientation of all humans, unlike anything the world has ever experienced. And that is what, make no mistake about it, the agenda that wasn't really there, if not blocked, will make slaves of all of us, including our children and grandchildren. And there's a couple other things on that, and I may go to them at some point during the show. But the whole point, you know, for Canada Free Press, they talk more about it than we can get any of our own media to talk about it, which is kind of interesting. But anyway, that I wanted to mention that, and I'm kind of jumping around here tonight. I've had a little bit of a rough day, plus my internet connection wasn't working just before the show, so I'm trying to regroup as we speak. Going back to the complaint, House Resolution... Yes.
Okay, go ahead. House Resolution 2372, let us know about that, because that's an important one if we're going to do something about it.
Yes. In fact, this was Tom Pastore doing the research. I don't know what we do without Tom getting this information to us. And he kind of sends the email out to us telling us about this House resolution. Congress testifies on behalf of your lawsuit. And truthfully, they're out there openly admitting they don't do their job. So we're actually planning a second phase of this, which is going to be the criminal suit. And we're going to be amending the complaint, but we'll also take the criminal suit, because if you look at the bill, again, this is House Resolution 2372 IH. I've never seen IH at the end. It's HR2372.IH. That's what it's actually listed out here. And
give that to me again, because I'm writing it down.
Okay, and I'll when I take a break here, I'll type it into the chat room too. 112th Congress, House Resolution HR2372.IH. Like I said, I'm not familiar with the IH. Yeah.
Okay.
And then it's actually called Just Do Your Job Act of 2011, introduced in the House. And that's what IH is, introduced in the House. So they have actually introduced it into the House. And I'm going to read some of the red text that talks about what they're doing. The Section 2 findings. Congress finds the following. It is the responsibility of each House of Congress to adopt a concurrent resolution on the budget in compliance with the Congressional Budget Act of 1974. Okay, right there, they've admitted that they have failed to do their job. Okay? They've already confessed.
We already have their confession
in writing here. And it's like, this is great. And so everybody go out there and make sure you look. This is public record. They can't change it now. And then two, it is the responsibility of the House Majority Leader to schedule legislation in the House of Representatives. John Boehner, hello. Guilty as charged. Three,
yeah.
It is the responsibility of the Senate Majority Leader to schedule legislation in the Senate. Okay, Harry Reid, guilty as charged. I mean, this is unbelievable. And let's see, there's only seven of them here, so I'll go ahead and do the other ones. The House adopted House Concurrent Resolution 34, the budget resolution for fiscal year 2012, on April 15th, 2011, by a vote of 235 to 193. And that one there, you know, it's a little bit harder to take it specifically to what we're saying, but the whole point is they bypassed the budget process. Five, the Senate rejected House Concurrent Resolution 34 on May 25th. I guess that's the point. May 25th, 2011, by a vote of 57. So the House tried to do something. The Senate rejected it. Again, we're not getting anything done. The Senate rejected Senate Concurrent Resolution 18, reflecting the budget submitted by President Obama for fiscal year 2012 on May 25, 2011, by a vote of 0 to 97. They all rejected that one. And number 7 here, the Senate last adopted a budget resolution in compliance with the requirements of the Congressional Budget Act of 1974 on April 29, 2009. I mean, listen to that again. A budget resolution in compliance. The last time they actually were in compliance with the budget was April 29th of 2009. And what did I say today's date was? August 20th, 2012. You know, this is not acceptable. They're not doing their job, and they've openly admitted it. They have confessed they have failed. Okay. When it passed Senate Concurrent Resolution 13, the budget resolution for fiscal year 2010 by a vote of 53 to 43. That's when it finally passed, and that was, again, April 29th, 2009. Okay, and then reduction in the amount available for operations. Then they go into no payment, some of the things, prohibition, notwithstanding any provision of the Full Year Continuing Appropriations Act 2011, Division B of Public Law 112-10 during the portion of fiscal year 2011, blah, blah, blah. That part's a little confusing, but get to this one here. No payment may be made for the salaries and expenses of the committees on the budget of the House of Representatives and Senate, and the amount otherwise made available for salaries and expenses of the houses of the Majority Leader and the House of Representatives and Senate shall each be reduced by $1 million. This is the stuff they're out there saying. Exception. Always got to be an exception, right? If a House of Congress has adopted a concurrent resolution on the budget for fiscal year 2011 or fiscal year 2012 that complies with Section 301A-1-7 and Section 301E-2A-F of the Congressional Budget Act of 1974, subsequent A shall not apply. Subsection A shall not apply to the Committee on the Budget or the Office of the Majority Leader of that House. So they're out there saying either do your job or you're not going to get paid, and defining what their job is with that little exception thing to say how far along they are in this process. But I really do think they have confessed. And I mean, again, this Tom Pastore brought this to our attention. And, you know, with this information, we go and amend the complaint. Current complaint we've already filed, and we go out there and we file a criminal complaint, and we're still looking into the process to do the criminal complaint because it's a little bit different. But we're going to use this. They've openly admitted that they have breached their duty. They're the ones saying it, too. Seems to me pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, somebody just wrote in the chat room, they got themselves their money back with the exception. Well, the whole thing about them getting their money back with the exception is they've been rewriting the laws and the operation of the Congress and the Senate, or the House of Representatives and the Senate, to suit themselves. In other words, they have been saying, well, because we need this, we're not going to make this amendment, or we're going to make this resolution. Resolution after resolution is not doing the job for the we the people. They're trying to cover their tracks and cover their backs. That is not, how would you say, that is a violation of their fiduciary duties to we the people. They cannot get away from it, because changing things just to satisfy themselves is what calls under self-dealing. That's the very second breach of fiduciary. The first one, not representing the principal's best interest, which they are not doing because they did not pass the budget. The next violation of fiduciary duty to we the people is the fact that they were self-dealing in doing the works within the House and the Senate by changing the resolutions to try to get them not to be in violation of the laws that they made. You cannot write a law or a resolution to exempt you from prosecution of the law, because otherwise then we would have no law at all. We would have no Congress. But they have saved Boehner millions of dollars with the exemption. This is coming in the chat room, and I think that is good. However, the rule would apply now because they are behind. Well, the whole thing about this is that, yeah, we may have saved Boehner's $1 million with the exemption, but we can go after it in the law because that was an illegal exemption. Because you just don't go ahead and write something to go ahead and say, oh, I need the money. Now I need to have this resolution passed so that I can get the money back for my my operating expenses. See, once you're in violation of the law, you're in violation of the law. That's the way I look at it. That's the way the Constitution basically says. We are a land of laws, not a land of where we change the laws to satisfy those who are the lawmakers.
Okay. Just so you know, Damn Mad Granny, that's our friend Doreen. That's Ms. Texas out there. She's the one putting all that out there.
I noticed that. I know that.
She's rolling on the floor laughing out there. But
she probably is. Rolling on the floor laughing.
Well, and I think to go to her point is, I mean, you know, it's kind of funny how they have that one last little CYA, except if they've adopted the concurrent resolution. But right now they haven't even got that done. They've that was the point that was made too. So right now they don't even have that done. So they're saying, we did a sloppy job, but we did do something. Give us credit if we did something. Don't hold back our pay. Just because we didn't do the job right doesn't mean we shouldn't get something. You know,
that's
kind of my take on that piece.
Well, the whole thing about it is they've been caught with their pants down. Now they're trying to pull them up and cover themselves, but too late. It's too late. We got patriots all over this country watching them. And now we've got patriots who are doing something about it. And let's say, when they finally get served those papers in Washington, they'll see that they're going to have to answer in a court. Unless, of course, ladies and gentlemen, the courts are in collusion with the executive and legislative branches of government, and they say we don't have a constitution, then that would be my worst fears. But I believe God is on the side of we the people, and I put my faith in him that what we are doing is going to be well rewarded to the people of America and to this great country. Sally, Terry, and I are just the messengers of what we're doing. But I tell you, it's going to be very interesting because you cannot correct the wrongs behind the door. Once the wrongs are found out by the people who you represent, it's too late. And also, ladies and gentlemen, the law of the land is a constitution, and it says equal justice for all. So that means you violate the laws of the land, Congress, that means you pay in the court of law. And you can be incarcerated, and you can be fined, and you can be stripped of everything that you have made so far if we find your hands are in any way, shape, or form dipping into the profits and the monies of we the taxpayers. Such as this stupid thing in California, where we're bailing out people with taxpayer money because they bought a house that's too expensive. Nobody helped me pay. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for you to stand up for yourself, because if California can get that money, then that means you should be able to get that money, which means everybody in this country would have a house of their own, paid for by those who work. And I don't think there's any working person in this country who is going to put up with that. Okay. Back to you, Sally.
And on that note, I'm going to go ahead and invite Neil Rice to go ahead and join our discussion. And, Neil, you're more than welcome to, one, comment on the complaint, and, two, before we get started, go ahead and let people know a little bit about who you are, just kind of a recap that we were talking about on Thursday. You're heavily engaged in the Agenda 21 thing, plus you're also running for office, and kind of how you got into all this stuff. So welcome, Neil, and it's your turn.
Hi, thank you, Sally. Thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome.
I'm Neil Rice. I'm from Perry, Taylor County, and I work with the Agenders, And this is a remarkable group of people. Very, very proud to be associated. And I'm also a member of the Taylor County Tea Party. And I am running for commissioner after finding out that our board had signed us on to a 2060 vision comprehensive plan. And it is Agenda 21. It is sustainable development. And I would like to make perfectly clear, most people do not realize this, sustainable development is Agenda 21. I have worked with the Agenda's president, Bob Root. I told you, both you guys last time I talked to you, we were trying to go after organizations, and we decided to do it as individual groups so people would understand and they could take this documentation to their commissioners, their city council, and demand that they get out of it. Well, in this first book that we did, everything is documentations. And in their own words, sustainable development is Agenda 21. We have documents from the Federal Registry on grants that are sustainable development grants. And right underneath the names of the grants, it states that sustainable development is Agenda 21. This is in the Federal Registry. And there are a ton of other documents in this book. This book is 260 or 280-some pages. It is highlighted. It starts from the very beginning with all of this. And what we are trying to do is get out of the National Association of Counties and the Florida Association of Counties, which, by the way, we do pay their lobbyists. It costs us taxes to belong. We pay for our representatives or commissioners to go to their conventions, their lodging, their food, whatever they want to do. We want out of this organization, and then we're going to move on to two more of them that have like a sister or a parent to them in the state of Florida. Most states do. But they admit it. They admit that sustainable development, who is ever listening, this is Agenda 21. Long-term comprehensive plans in your community, your state, it is Agenda 21. The Department of HUD, EPA, the Department of Transportation, the Department of Agriculture, ICLEI, which is an arm that was created to get this to pass, and then they ended up doing something they thought better, moving on to what they call the LA21. That is your local Agenda 21. And in the state of Florida, there is not a department in Tallahassee that does not work with ICLEI and other UN organizations that are committed to this. And I hope people start waking up before it's too late. The state of Florida, we've got 40% or more of it is being taken over.
Got a question for you. A couple of different things, and this is based on a couple of conversations I've had in the last couple of days since we had the show on Thursday. One, I want to make sure we talk about the 1,500 farms that are trying to be taken over and how EPA is trying to do that down. And I think it's throughout the whole state of Florida, but I think most of it's South Florida. I'm not sure about
South,
that part.
Yeah. Now, Karen Schoen has a lot better outlook on that. She has a lot more material. She has dealt with that more than I have.
And she's out there on standby, and I'm going to get to her in just a minute, too. I'm going to bring her into this discussion. But the other piece that seemed to be, I don't want to say confusing people, or I'll say clouding up the gray waters, the gray skies, whatever it is, graying up the issue, where when it comes to EPA and land use, because I was talking to him about that case, the Sackett case up in Idaho as well, and then what's happening down in South Florida with how they're trying to do some of this, and I didn't have enough of the specifics about South Florida just yet. The point is, when they come in and say that the definition of land use, whether it's a wetland or this or that, how we protect a certain amount of the land for what we truly need, and here in Florida, water, keeping water clean is obviously a key deal, and so we need to make sure that whether the land is being used for cow patties and whatever else and things that are going to mess up the water supply. So the proper role of government to protect and manage the land so that we don't get polluted waters versus this over land grab, as Ron Paul calls it, the land grab and how they're seizing the land. There seem to be two different things. It's like, well, it depends on exactly what they were doing when they tried to take this land and whether it was it a valid point that the land needed to be recategorized, rezoned as flood land, those kind of things. So there is somewhat of this gray area as to what is the true proper role of government in land management. And if you want to go ahead and answer that, and then I can bring Karen on, or I can go ahead and bring Karen into the discussion right now.
Right. Well, one thing that I have seen in reading and some of this, of course, people have to understand one thing. The EPA is very heavily involved with the United Nations to accomplish their goals. They work with ICLEI and American Planning Association. They work very close with the National Association of Counties, along with several others. And they want this land to go back to conservation. They will go in and say that there is something that needs to be saved or protected, whether it is or not. They have no facts that can prove it. They have been challenged, and they don't even reply. Do not even reply to these, that once someone hires an attorney, not too many people can afford to do that. They can go and say, and there's several occasions down in South Florida where they want to protect a certain tree. There has been pictures taken on this property. There was not a tree on the whole property.
Yep.
They can say they want to protect the cougar, the Florida cougar. One thing I want to make very clear for anyone listening, there is no true Florida cougar left anymore. When they were really down to some low numbers, and I believe it was in the 80s, late 80s, somewhere, I can't remember, they brought in several cougars from Texas to try and populate heavier with them. Well, of course, this is a different type of species of cougar. So the Florida cougar, the lifespan can go up to like 30 years. Well, when you figure that long ago and they were breeding with a different species of cougar, and you add on that amount of time, there is no true cougar left anymore. So they want all this land to protect the cougar. They're claiming that people that are in the area, most of it they're saying that they are hit by cars and different things. I did a lot of research. One of the main things they have problems with is feline leukemia. Stop and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, tick, mosquitoes, anything like this. Fleas. I mean, it just drains the blood out of them.
But yet
they're still trying to blame it on humans when it's not. And also, like I said, there is no true cougar left in this state.
Okay. Okay, well, let me just follow up real quick, and then, like I say, we'll get Karen into this discussion, too. But there was a situation right now. We're up in the Ocala area. A Canadian rancher has bought up a large piece of property or is trying to use it for farming a ranch of cattle. And the local concerns are, there's a variety of issues, not just one, so I don't want to make this sound too simple. But there is, because of the land in that area, there is a concern that the byproducts of the cattle is going to impact the water supply based on some of the rivers or whatever. Again, I won't go into all the details, but there's issues with that particular thing, and some people are protesting, opposing the ranch there because of the water supply issue and that type of thing. So the question truly to the individual out there who may not be as aware of some of the things we're talking about, or has been from a different angle of the environmental aspect, what is the role of the state of government or the local government on the use of land? If we were going to try and say, here, what is the proper role of government in the use of land? Because we know, as much as I despise, personally, you know, I talk about growth management, and I used to talk about it quite a bit when I was running for Orange County Mayor, that there is no growth management. It's reckless. All they do is stamp whatever the developers want in front of them with no planning in reference to not only the water supply, but also traffic and all these other things, because all they're doing is getting their, you know, settling up with their crony political friends routine and has nothing to do with properly managing growth of a community. So what's the role of government in the growth of the community and in the land use? Or do we say they don't belong in any of it? So I think there's that gray area right there as to what really should government do. Then we go into what the extreme of what they do, the land grab, taking away people's rights and the disgusting eminent domain things, what happened in Connecticut, what was happening in Idaho, all these other things which are truly part of Agenda 21.
Correct. I mean,
So what would you tell somebody, the role of government, what is truly the proper role of government, either at the local or state level? Because people are going to say, too, well, don't we want to have some state parks that everybody uses? So what is the, what? How do we define what is the
okay,
proper
well, right there.
Role? Yeah.
All right. Well, just as you mentioned state parks,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if most of the people listening have any idea of this, but as far as state parks and monuments in this country, right now, under the Heritage Act, the United Nations owns, like, I think 67 or 68 of them. And that includes some in Washington.
Despicable.
Yes.
Right. Nuts. But
what they, you know, the thing of it is, they're trying to, they make this stuff up, a lot of it. There is nothing behind it that they can actually have pure fact on. And government needs to stay out. Government does not need to be owning any land. If someone has agricultural land, it was bought that way, or that's what purpose they've been using it for, there are certain guidelines. But you don't go over the deep end, and that's what they're doing. They will do and say anything. And this is our food supply. Stop and think of this.
Mm-hmm. And again, that goes to the way the land is used as to whether it's depleting of, you know, the food supply, which we all know when it comes to Agenda 21, there's a whole other issue when you talk about food.
Right,
supply.
And then look at Obama's executive order for his rural council. They can more or less tell you what to plant, when to plant, if you can plant. They're coming up with all these buffer zones. So someone that is growing, let's just use an example of strawberries, and they come along and they say, well, you have to have a buffer zone. So they dictate how much of an area this is going to be. So then that grower is going to be impacted at how much he can grow. So down comes your food supply.
Yep.
Then he's still paying the same amount of taxes on his property. He still is liable for whatever expenses, but yet he's going to get to the point where he can no longer afford it.
Force him out of business.
This is, I mean, it's unbelievable. And people need to stop and think. If you think your government anymore is looking out for you, you better start doing some strong researching into every angle, because they are coming from every side. The U.S. Agricultural Department, they are in the middle of this. They deal with all these environmental groups. And they're giving them whatever they want, practically, especially our tax dollar, to do it.
And I think it was last year, I have to go look at the actual date, when they passed the Food Safety Modernization Act. That was the big, and we talked about that on the show here, too, and Larry Mrzynski was on the show with us at that point, and he was very knowledgeable on that stuff and got into the nitty-gritty of what the Food Safety Modernization Act is, coming down to limiting the rights of the individual to grow food on their own property, like having an orange tree, growing tomatoes, whatever, growing watermelons in your backyard, all these things to limit who can manage and who produces the food. And again, that's what is happening on these squeeze, when they put the squeeze on these farmers, trying to force them out of business so that now it becomes a company or a government government's product, food supply thing, where they totally do what they want, manipulate what they want on that market. And I think, I mean, it's just absolutely despicable, which we're going to be talking when Charlie and I go down to Miami on the 8th. We're going to be talking with some of those people who are facing that same dilemma. And I'm going to really like talking to them, because it just, it's so outrageous, so un-American. All you got to do is see that type of stuff, the eminent domain and this kind of stuff. And here you got Michelle Obama out there talking to people about have your own little garden, how to grow your own food. I guess she hasn't talked to our administration lately, because they don't let you do that. It's like she's out there promoting all this healthy food, healthy lifestyle. Michelle,
exactly.
Did you realize you're not allowed to do that?
No, this is very true. Very, very true. And that's just like in this comprehensive planning and different things they're doing. They're going to have the acreage so high. If you want to build a home, could be 20 acres, could be 40 acres. And you would have to have that much just to put a single home on there. But if you want to do a density-type building, put in 4, 6, or 8 units, they'll lower what amount of land you need. And it's anything they can do to rack and stack them, take away land. They can tell you with his urban council that he did just what you can plant. I mean, they can come down on this. That executive order he did is very dangerous, very dangerous.
Yeah, but I'll go back to one other thing. And Miss Texas out there in the chat room, she's calling to my attention, and she's got a point. According to the Constitution, government can't own land. The people do, because it's our money. And technically, we the people are the government, and that type of thing, which is very true. She's got a very valid point. But I would still go back to when it, I agree they should, the government shouldn't own land routine. But yeah. should we allow China to come up and buy the country? Because we're just, I mean, America is for sale. It's been for sale for a while by what these idiots in Washington have done. And should there be state parks? I personally think there should be state parks. I like the fact that they save different areas for state parks that everybody can use and that kind of thing. You know, so
I do too.
But
yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But I don't believe that communists should be allowed in here, although there you go again. Everybody under the Constitution is supposed to be treated equal. Then somebody should tell somebody that under Obamacare you're not, because certain people are getting waivers. Our Congress, our senators, their staffers, their family, they don't have to participate. So how can that be everybody is being treated equal under the Constitution when it comes to Obamacare?
Exactly. That's so true. Well, Karen has been sitting out there on the sidelines, so let's go ahead and bring her into this discussion. You're both welcome to also comment on the complaint, the stuff we were talking about in the beginning. So let's see here. Hey, Karen, how are you doing this evening? I am doing terrific, Sally, and thank you so much. What you guys are doing is absolutely incredible, because it is we the people that own this country. And the problem is that our education forgot to tell us that, and that's the saddest part. With regard to land, you are 100% correct. The federal government has no business owning any land, and the only reason why they are able to pull this off is because we the people are silent. And that's probably the biggest issue. I tell everyone when I report on Agenda 21, before they go and look at any studies, if they write the words money, power, and control on the top of their page, then all of the research will make sense, because the policies do not make sense. And it is just like that man who has the farm. There is no documented evidence that the animals do anything to the water. There is no documented evidence any place that any animal does any problem with the water. They don't pollute anything. In actuality, the major pollutant, if we were really going to, you know, talk about what went on with the water, although the Florida water is in excellent condition, years and years and years ago, before we inspected gas tanks and things like that, when the gas went into the tanks in the ground, that's where a lot of the pollution came from. It was not the farm animals. So you have to think about the policy and what is their goal, and then the policy fits, because otherwise the policies will never fit. Why are they going to restrict the farmer from having farm animals? Why are they going to restrict fertilizers? Why are they going to restrict that? They're going to restrict it because their ultimate goal is money, power, and control. And by control of the people, it means that private property rights will have to take a back seat for the good of the collective, because they do not believe in individual wealth, money, power, and control in their hands, not in the hands of we the people. So this whole plan and program is an evil plan so that the wealth of the Americans, and especially the American middle class, will be eliminated. If you take Agenda 21 and you put it side by side with the Communist Manifesto, it matches up almost perfectly. And in communism, there are only two classes of people, those that have and those that work for those that have. And in America, the fact that Americans were granted individual property rights and could accumulate individual wealth and were given our rights by God, our Creator, that created a class of people that the rest of the world, by these rulers, could not tolerate. So systematically, over the last 100 years, by stripping out our intelligence and our history, they have created a population of people who are incapable of making independent thought, and they can only handle choices given to them by their government. So when the EPA or one of these unconstitutional regulatory agencies makes a regulation, our first line of attack should be it's unconstitutional, but the second line of attack should be, where is the scientific evidence that gives you the right to do this regulation? And if you look for it, there is no scientific evidence. But by breeding a group of people who just accept, they accept what the government says, and we then become the silent majority. So all the words have different meanings to them. They do a program, it's called doublespeak. And you can almost take their words and whatever they say are totally the opposite of what they mean.
You know, sustainable development is a perfect example. What does that mean? It means controlled development. Well, they're not going to come out and say, we're going to control you. They have to create another word that makes it palatable for the American people to accept. And that's what we have going on today.
That is exactly it. And that's why, you know, like I said, in the overall scheme of things, when you talk about building roads and, you know, developing a community, this role of what government should do versus what it does do. Because I don't have a problem with government helping to plan where the road is going to be built, but the process is so corrupt. You know, it's all sweetheart deals and whoever they want, and they go buy up the land and they sell the land back.
Would they create the road before there is a need, or should there be a need before there is a road? And when you're trying to strip away people's rights and freedoms, you're going to create the road first. And that's what planned development does. America is, you know, what are we here? We are overpopulated in America, and therefore we cannot feed the Americans, so we have to control our population. The landmass of America, I would venture to guess about 3% of America is populated. One study that we did showed that if we took all of the Americans, 300 million of us, and all of our families got a quarter of an acre, we would all fit within the state of Ohio. So why are we being told that we're being overpopulated? Because they want the land. America is the richest landmass in the world. If you just took what's here, what we have in America, we have more wealth in our land than any other country in the world. That's the problem, because in America, we the people are supposed to own that landmass, not the government. So they have to create this overpopulation ideology and then feed it to you that this overpopulation is causing an environmental impact, and therefore you are going to destroy Mother Earth. So you, the American people, we, the American people, are willing to accept these obtrusive rules and regulations so that we will not destroy nature and the earth. That's almost impossible if you figure and you actually do the numbers. It doesn't exist, it doesn't compute, it doesn't make sense. But yet it is being fed to the American people because the one scare, and now we go back to communism again, communism gets in place because they create the crisis, then the people scream for help, and then the government steps in, and the people are willing to give up their liberties and freedom to get rid of the crisis. Well, the crisis is manufactured. There is no crisis. However, if the government tells you that we're overpopulated and we're going to destroy our country and we're going to pollute our waters and we won't have enough food to eat, and we have to give up our private property rights because of that, the people panic and they give it up. And that's really what this is about. I mean, think about, I said this the other day at a seminar that I was giving. They are advocating that nature and man are one and the same. Animals and humans have the same rights. Animals and humans are equal. So I got up in the morning and I told my cat to make me breakfast, and she wouldn't do it. So how are we equal?
When the litter box gave you something else.
Right. And I said, clean your litter box. And she looked at me and, you know, I'm not doing that. Now how is your cat or your animal going to take care of you when you're sick? The things that they promote, if you break it down logically, does not make sense. But then we have to go back to school, and we're dealing with a group of people that have never been taught the skills of logic, reason, and critical thinking. That has been eliminated. What they have been given is a choice of four from the government. So they accept and we accept, and we have become a nation of acceptors instead of a nation of doers.
A nation of people who challenge what is being said instead of just simply doing as you're told. And going back to about the landmass, because I remember hearing all that stuff too. And for the past, close to 10 years, my work has required a lot of travel, traveling back and forth, working on projects out of state and all this other stuff. So I was flying a lot. Right now I'm not flying so much, but in the past. And I'm like, I'm flying over there, and I was like, why do they keep saying we're running out of land? They must not have ever taken a flight over this country. So I look down there, and it's like, you know, you see the little dots of the communities. It's like massive green out there. I said, there is no way we're running out of land any place in this country. That's manufactured nonsense, just like so many things they do. Yeah.
Everything, the hardest thing for people who start learning about Agenda 21, the hardest thing for us to swallow is that everything we have learned, everything we have been taught is a lie. It's a lie. There isn't a nice way to say it. It is a lie. And what has happened over time is that Agenda 21, which is the goal of Agenda 21, is to inventory and control every aspect of human activity. Now, why would somebody want to do that? Because you have a group of about 10,000 people belonging to an elite organization, whether it's the Council on Foreign Relations or the Bilderbergs or the International Monetary Fund or the Federal Reserve, and basically they're all the same people. They want to control everything. They think they are bigger, brighter, smarter, and deserve to have all of the riches, and we should be working for them. I mean, just even think about Al Gore and the hypocrisy that he has. He's going out and telling people, you know, your carbon emissions, and you can't use this and you can't use that. In the meantime, he flies around in his jets and he has a 9-bedroom house mansion. So call him up and say, okay, Alice, we have to share. When am I moving in with you? Because we're sharing. Well, they want to share yours, but they don't want to share theirs. So this is a selfish crowd that says, do as I say, not as I do, and what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine also. Because basically they just don't want you to achieve what they have stolen from you, because they wouldn't have gotten it if they did not steal it. And that's exactly what they have done. And they have created laws and rules and layers of laws and rules that enable them to steal. They have a license to steal. And they do. The nepotism is incredible. And again, when our children now study, when I was teaching, one of the things we used to do in geography was we had a huge map of the United States, and every kid in my class had a state, and they had to do a history and a whole discussion of that state, what that state produced, what the people produced, and what they did. And we were amazed to find all of the wonders that were right in the United States. That's not being taught today. Today our children have no knowledge of the riches that this land holds for them, because they're being taught that they cannot use it because the government says so. Well, who is the government? 535 people plus the president controlling $3 billion. Well, why do you think they're going to, $300 million. Why do you think they're going to say the population is too high? Because there's too many of us for them to control. So they have to say, well, there's too many people. We're going to overpopulate the planet. We're going to overpopulate the United States. Well, the reality is the less people they have to control, the easier it is for them to control. So this whole thing is all around control. And controlling the masses means having the masses buy into a program that they will police themselves and be willing to sacrifice themselves for the good of the collective, when in reality the collective is about 535 people who feel they're richer, smarter, better than we are.
Well, I'll tell you, a couple of points I want to make on some of the things you're saying.
And just kind of for the record, in the past I was actually on the Orange County Soil and Water Conservation District, which that one's interesting too. One of the funniest things, and someplace out there if you can find the copy of when they had this discussion, and I was on that board, it was My Region, myregion.org, total Agenda 21 garbage. They were doing a presentation about growth management and the, you know, how we needed to plan and keep everybody all close together. We're running out of land routine, but they were talking a lot about the growth, and they talked about the growth is today. There's this many children born, there's this many graduating, there's this and this and this and this, and all their calculations. And I said something to them. I was like, well, when you factor in every the numbers they were giving me, I said, well, how many people die all the time? How many people die?
Here in Florida, we
have an elderly population, so did you factor in how many people die? No, they didn't. And it was, you know, so I really did get on that one. So that was kind of funny. And then I said, I'm not asking to build a wall around. I just want you to make your numbers to make some kind of sense. They forgot, they didn't know I was an analyst. So that was one thing. And then the other, in talking about anything to do with growth management, the less people that are in an area, the you know, when you crowd people together, that's when you create all the pollution, and the nature can't absorb it on its own. So you create pollution by cramming people together. New York City is dirtier because you got how many millions of people in a small space, not to mention national security and all those other kind of things that happen, life in a congested world, those kind of things. So it's interesting that they try to cram people together. But then the other aspect, which I think goes to a bigger part of the heart and soul of what happens at the state and local level, okay, let's once again define the role of government. Is it the role of government to generate the economy? Is it the role of government, because, you know, right here in Orlando, and every community does it, you know, they had to go and do wheeling and dealing, all this other stuff, because they wanted the Orlando Magic to come here. Well, wait a minute, and the same is true. You know, they've talked about the Olympics coming to Florida someplace, and I was like, no, I don't want it, because they're going to have to go and all the garbage they will do with the building and the planning for a two-week event that we'll all be paying forever for, and it really does. That stuff, you're just putting concrete up all over the place and making chaos when there isn't any. But the point is, they all come up with these schemes to get people to stay in their area, and, of course, all the other political money that goes on in the background, the sweetheart deals. But they all act like, well, we have to have the, you know, we're going to do this so that this company comes to Orlando. Well, wait a minute, we can't have them come to Orlando if we don't have the road for them to build. And then, you know, this is their excuse for how they expand and why they're being proactive in building the roads even though there's nothing there yet, because they want to build it so that they can give it to whoever developer or whoever's coming to, you know, that kind of nonsense.
Exactly, exactly. And it's not the role of government to create a job, because government has no money to create a job unless they take it from a job creator to create a job. So the government saying, I love it when, you know, when you ask a person who's running for office, what would you do to improve the economy of our county? And they say, well, we have to create these jobs. No, we don't. That's not the purpose. The purpose of government is to make sure that the individual can create the job in an atmosphere that makes it easy for an individual to create a job. That's the role of government. They're supposed to make sure that, Sally, if you want to create a job and I want to create a job, that the laws are equal for both of us, and that you don't get something more than I would get, and that if you were in one state and I was in another, and Neil was selling something, that she has to sell it fairly to both of us. That's the role of government. It's not the role of government to say we're going to create this job, because government has no money unless they steal it from us to do exactly what they're doing. And that's why the fallacy of what the role of government has become, because government is not explained in school anymore. Kids have no idea. They think when they get out of school that they are being taught, and they're being taught through the Earth Charter, and that comes from the United Nations and from the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights, that the government gives them their rights. So when our kids are graduating school, 85% of them think that they cannot function unless the government tells them what to do and tells them what they can have and cannot have. That's not the purpose of government. That was never supposed to be the purpose of government of our founding fathers. Our founding fathers said, this is a country where we will have a law and every person will be treated equally under that law. And that was all that government was supposed to do, was to manage and maintain those laws. Everything got incredibly convoluted when the banking families decided that they wanted more. So you have the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the Morgans and the Carnegies who couldn't stop. You know, how many millions are enough? Obama says, haven't you made enough money? Well, haven't you made enough money? Why are you in my pocket? You know, let's talk about your amount of money. Why are you sticking your hand in my pocket? But it's not a rule that works for them. It's only the rules that work for, that they are trying to impose upon us. And what we have to do is come together as Americans and stop allowing those divisive adjectives that are being used to divide us and realize that we are Americans and we own the richest landmass in the world. We are being told that we can't use it. We are being regulated by bureaucrats who are forming regional councils, crossing over multiple county and state lines, and those regional councils are designed to eliminate our elected officials. So here we have our elected officials pushing those NGOs that Neil was just talking about, whereby the ultimate goal of that NGO is going to be to run your community, because when you have a water management district, who do you go to? Do you go to your elected official and say, I don't like the water rates? What does he say? Oh, I can't do anything about it. So now you have to go to an unelected bureaucrat who says, ha, 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 I don't have to answer you. You didn't elect me. It's my job. I can do whatever I want. We wound up with smart meters because of that. We wound up with a whole bunch of regulations because of that. And in reality, yes, we do. We do need some regulations to make sure that our, let's take the water. Our water is clean. Well, the water in Florida is incredibly clean. And now, in order, let's say that the water in Florida is 90%. In order to get to 91%, they're going to force us to spend billions of dollars to accomplish a pin drop of success. Does that make sense? No. But if money, power, and control are your goal, then those billions of dollars will come out of the productive marketplace and then be used for something that will advance us less than an eighth of an inch. It doesn't make sense. So you have to be on top of the rules and regulations, and you have to really ask the right questions, which is, where's the scientific evidence that says that this is even going to work? There isn't any. And then I always say, well, how is this going to affect the economy? Well, we don't know. We didn't do that study. That is on some of the congressional, when the agencies were asked, the EPA, what did you do a study of the economic impact of that regulation? Their answer is no. Well, if there's no scientific evidence that that regulation is going to work, and there's no economic impact that regulation will do anything except probably destroy the economy, then why would we want to impose it? Because the government says so, because these people, their goal is to strip the money out of the middle class. That's the whole goal and the whole purpose. And listen to the president. Redistribution of wealth. What does that mean? It means I'm going to take the money out of Sally's pocket, and I'm going to put it in Neil's pocket, and I'm going to write a regulation that is going to enable me to do that. The whole thing is, if we the people accept that, then shame on us.
That's exactly it. We the sheeple. You know, it's the sheeple. Are we going to be we the people, or are we going to be we the sheeple? The when you're talking about government creating jobs, the two perfect cases here in Orlando are the I-4 toll lanes and, of course, Scamrail. The I-4 tolls, I can't tell you how many times I've heard about how many jobs this is going to create. They're going to create jobs to take money from us. The whole point of that toll is to take money.
That's right.
One of the stupidest reasons to create a job is so that somebody can take your money. And that's all a toll tax is. And
well, how much are they going to spend to create the toll booth, to create the toll tax so that they could steal money from you? Does that make sense? No, that doesn't make sense either. And then you do a study of the rail. Find me one rail system, one, in the United States that's profitable.
Or even break even. Don't even forget profitable. Just break even.
Impossible. And then what do rail systems actually do? Well, they pollute more. An accident on a rail, hundreds of people die, whereas in a car, you, the individual, you maintain your own safety. There are less auto accidents than there are rail accidents. What are they doing by creating that high-speed rail? Well, let's say I want to have a curfew, and I don't want to tell the people that I want to have a curfew. I'll give you a schedule. And if you want to get from point A to point B and I want to have a curfew at 10 o'clock, I'll make the last train at 9. You'll be in by 10. I can control you. I will know where you are because I can't find you if you're floating around in your car. I can't say, Karen, get in the house at 10 o'clock because if I want to take my car out, nobody is going to tell me I can't do that. And history after history after history, statistic after statistic, over and over again, when the individual has ownership, they take care of it. When the government has ownership, nobody takes care of it. And that's what we have going on. Look at the parks. You were talking about the parks. How much land is now off limits to humans, and nobody takes care of them when before they were in the hands of ranchers and they were cared for. Not only that, the ranchers paid taxes. So we're taking our money. We are giving them to these organizations like my favorite, Florida Forever, who has a petition that they want more money, by the way. So we're taking our tax dollars, we're giving it to Florida Forever. They're going and buying land, which means they're taking that land off the tax rolls. So that land cannot be developed, it can't have taxes attributed to it. And do you think that the community where that happens turns around to its citizens and says, well, we just lost 400 acres, so we're going to reduce your taxes because the tax roll won't meet up? No, they say, Sally, we took 400 acres and now X number of dollars is going to come out of our budget, so we'll have to raise your millage rate. So we're paying for this land twice, once to pay for the land, and then on a continual basis, we're absorbing the taxes that land would have produced.
The three elements are, to me, the three key elements of Agenda 21 and a category type is if they control transportation, they control communication, they control food, they control those things, they control everything you do. Of course, the land is a key piece of that, too. So, but that's transportation. They're going to make you go where they want you to go. And it's just so despicable of what they are trying to do here. The other one thing I wanted to mention, you're talking about the role of government routine. Everything to do, I think energy is one of the biggest things that we can prove how government screws things up. If the energy was truly in the private sector, then we would have cars that get 100 miles to a gallon of gas. The stupidity of having electric cars that are using electric energy. They act like electricity is free. It's like, are these people so stupid? I've never understood the logic of,
if it's not taught in school, they don't know it.
Yeah. That's what happens. Trust me. As an analyst, I've definitely learned that people were not taught to think. And in my own situation, I've tried to help people learn how to think, well, what about this or what about that? Or, you know, I ask all these questions because that's what an analyst does. But people aren't taught to think at all. They're robotic. They're programmed.
That's
here's
right.
what you do.
That's right.
No.
That's right. And, you know, I hope all of your listeners, I would recommend that you all see The Hunger Games, not because it was a fabulous movie and I'm recommending that. That's not the point. What you need to look at in The Hunger Games is the whole country was divided up into districts. And each district was responsible for some facet of work. So you had the coal mining district, and you had the farming district, and you had the industrial district. That's what they want to do. That's what controlled, planned, centralized planning is all about. And tying in the schools with the centralized planning then creates school to work. We have to have our children be prepared to work. Well, that's not was never the purpose of school. The purpose of school was to provide provide the child with the tools that they would then be able to go and make their own choices as to what they want to be. But today, the way the schools are set up, and this is going back also 100 years because this is when this started, how do you control a group of people? You change the schools and put them in tracks. And they put the people in track so that if you lived in a mining town, what did that town learn? All you learned about was mining. Why? Because the mining company needed workers. Where were they going to get them from? Well, they had to train the kids early on how to do mining. So this was the way of controlling people. Now, let's say I left that mining town and I wanted to go to an agricultural town. Would I be able to do that? No, because I wouldn't know what to do on a farm. An education is supposed to show you how to a menu, and then you, the individual, could say, gee, I want to go be a miner. I'd rather be a farmer. Whatever it is that you chose to do, you were able to make that choice. Today, our children are not going to be able to make any choices. And for those people that think choice is the answer to education, that's not the answer. Our children are not being taught factual information. They are being taught value-driven environmental education. And the majority of our kids are graduating. They can't read and write. They can think conceptually for the big picture, but they can't think for what to do in their day-to-day life unless it's something that they see on television, hear on the radio, or someone tells them what to do. They're incapable of making a decision. And because they're incapable of making a decision, they accept. And that was the whole idea. There was a very interesting piece about the climate. And when the analysis was done to create this man-made global warming from the IPCC, which is the United Nations, which NOAA and all of our government agencies follow, in order for us to believe that carbon dioxide was the culprit, and that was creating greenhouse gases, what they did was they created the computer models, leaving out the most important thing, which was the water and the water vapor. The oceans are the biggest producer of carbon dioxide. When the water evaporates, carbon dioxide goes into the atmosphere. That's life. That's the way it works. People have a very little bitty role to play in the production of carbon dioxide. What's happening now, they're patting themselves on the back. We got rid of coal mining, and therefore our carbon dioxide has decreased by 20%. That's not the reason. The reason is the oceans are getting cooler, and there's less evaporation. So therefore, the carbon dioxide decreases. It's all tied together to the sun, which is what controls our weather. And by leaving that piece out, they are able to manipulate the people into thinking that we are responsible and the carbon dioxide is the pollutant that is our problem. My fear is that by eliminating carbon dioxide, remember, our trees, our crops need the carbon dioxide for them to produce our food. If we eliminate carbon dioxide, guess what happens? We have a food shortage. guess what they're saying? We have too many people. We're going to have a food shortage. Well, they're contriving and creating the food shortage so that people will then scream, what can we do? What can we do? We have no food. We have no food. Stop, stop constricting carbon dioxide is one thing. Stop blowing up our dams. Stop flooding our farmlands. Take the restrictions off of our farmers. We would have plenty of food. We have so much land that's not being used that we'd be productive. Florida used to be the number two state for agriculture. I don't even think it makes the maps anymore. What a shame. We could have tons of wonderful food in Florida, but yet we're buying it from uninspected farms overseas. Why are we doing that? Go back to the beginning. Money, power, control. Redistribution of wealth. Take the wealth out of America, send it overseas so we can buy food. We should be producing food in America. We have incredible land to be able to do this, and we're not using it.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, I'm going to make one quick comment, and then we have Ms. Texas, who's been waiting to get a word in here, so we'll go to her in just a second. But when it comes to exactly what you're saying, the propaganda they give us goes back to that same old, it's an accounting phrase, but it's true to this, too. The figures don't lie, but the liars sure figure. They go out there and they twist the formulas to come up with whatever answer. You can come out, same as with polls. It cracks me up. Frank once in his polls, I don't know how many times I have gone out there done the different surveys to be in one of their focus groups, but Frank once does not want you there if you're a no-party affiliate. You got to either be a Republican or a Democrat. That's the only way you get into it. So talk about slanting the polls. I mean, the same thing. The figures don't lie, but the liars do figure. So let me go over here and see if I can get Ms. Texas on. Ms. Texas, you there?
I'm here. Hi, y'all.
Hi there.
Such a great program, and I do not remember this guest's name, and I'm going to turn the air conditioner off so you can't hear it. Hold on. Okay. She's hit on so many things that I have so much to say about, but I won't do it because I don't have, you know, we don't have all the time for me to run off at the mouth. The first thing, she was talking about the kids in school. And parents, people out there listening, if your parents, especially if your grandparents, I got the rudest awakening about a month and a half ago. I have a granddaughter who graduated from high school year before last, and we got her into college. Now, I couldn't understand, she wanted to be a nurse, and I couldn't understand why she had to go to college to get her, and I forget the term they use, but I'm going to call it to learn the things that she should have been taught in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She's, when I went to school, and I'm sure y'all are around the same age I am, before we could graduate from high school, we had to have college credits showing that we were taught, if we wanted to go to college, we signed up for that group, you know, course, to prove that we were taught English, math, science, a foreign language, and all the other things required. My granddaughter graduated. Now she's going to college to learn how to learn her English and her math. I'm
yes.
going, what in the hell did they teach you?
Nothing. They teach them to feel good about math and to be able to pick out key words in a paragraph. That's what they call reading. And the tests are designed so that the one who gets the passing grades are the ones who can regurgitate the values of the teacher who are reading off of some whatever and giving the child that value. And if you can regurgitate that value, you'll get a good grade in school. It has nothing to do. There was a woman by the name of Shirley McCreal, and in 1989, she went to the governor's council headed by Bill Clinton, and she said, human capital, the new name for students, should be trained to work. school should no longer teach individualism, it should teach collectivism. Factual information is no longer necessary because we don't know what facts the children will learn when they are older. And today, that's our schools. That's what it's modeled after. There isn't any amount of money, any amount of choice, any class size, anything that will make a child learn if the information they're getting is garbage. And today the schools are filled with social programs because if they fill them with social programs, they make we the people feel good. We're giving them lunch. We're giving them breakfast. We're providing a space for their child because we're teaching them, go out and have children. Go have sex. Here's how to do it. And everything that is humanly possible so that they will not learn, because if they do not learn, they will not question. And a child that questions usually winds up with some drug because they question the teacher and how dare they do that. So they are creating this group of useful idiots or sheeple or human collateral because they do not think of people as individuals. You are only as good as your group. You are only as good as the group that you are with deems you to be. So once you have been removed from the group and you are an individual, you are no good, and therefore you are ostracized, you are bullied, you are whatever. But that's, you are absolutely right. I tell everybody, if you can and it is humanly possible, homeschool your kids. Homeschool your kids, because you as the parent will teach more to that child than they will get in their entire lifetime in school.
And it dawned when I learned this, first I was mad. And that particular daughter, that she's a daughter too, she wasn't stupid, she wasn't dumb, but she didn't like school. So she didn't get and didn't work at the education that I wanted her to have. So therefore, my granddaughter, even though she had the opportunity, she could have been a good student because her mother didn't care to pay attention to what was going on in the school, in the classrooms. My granddaughter didn't get an education.
That's very sad and very true. The other thing is that think about what you just said. Why is your daughter going to college to learn this? Because think about what Obama did. He took the college tuition, and he took that out of the hands of a private entity, and he folded it into the government. Debt equals slavery. So if your child goes to college and they leave with a huge debt, they are enslaved to the government. And then the government will turn around and they will say, which was another Obama program, if you volunteer for AmeriCorps, if you volunteer for this, if you work for the government at a lesser salary, just forgive some of that debt. So you've already created a subservient person incapable of branching out on their own because they're already in massive debt. And that's the purpose. That's the purpose of every child going to college, is to create debt so that child has stuck with that debt. Could that child with that massive debt go out and buy a house? No. Can they go out and buy a car? No. Can they go out and start a business? No, because they have this massive debt hung over their heads because they are being told, you will be worthless unless you go to college. Well, excuse me, how many brilliant people never went to college, never got past eighth grade and created some of the most incredible inventions? Because all the school's supposed to do is give you the tools. It's not supposed to create for you.
Well, this leads me back to, now I understand, when we had integration, and the dumbing down really started then, because I wasn't being dumbed down when I was in high school. I was being taught. I had to learn in order to go to college. And at that time, there were more colleges and universities, and colleges didn't just turn into universities because they wanted to change their name like they do today. But now that was the start of the dumbing down because they reduced what the kids were being taught in order to let the kids that couldn't learn or didn't have – I'm not going to say they're stupid. They're not. Some kids can learn and some kids can't. If they're smarter than other kids, it's always going to be that way. It doesn't matter. That's life.
You're right. You're right.
They came up with ridiculous damn tests, and that's what we're doing.
Well, the tests create the tracking mechanism for them to determine what slot the child will go into so they can work for the state. And the danger of not using textbooks and using computers, if you remember back when, and we learned about Skinner's box and response and stimulus response, and then he goes through a maze of a box. Well, the logarithms are built into the computer, so every time your child answers a question, a tracking device says, oh, well, this child has an aptitude towards mechanics. This child has an aptitude towards this. So they're tracking the kids from the time they're in school into a slot, which will eventually put them in a track. And what happens if a kid wakes up and he says, Mom, I want to be a doctor? The answer is going to be, no, sorry, dear, you're in the mechanic slot. That is what you are going to be. Well, take a look at Europe. Take a look at the rest of the world. What incredible creations have come from the rest of the world because the kids had the ability to go in their garage and create something. That'll never happen again because all the kids are being taught for the middle level not to succeed, everything is mediocrity because they cannot have a group of people that are capable of amassing wealth. Because if we have the wealth, they don't have the wealth. So they have to be able to take it away. And they use school very, very efficiently to do that. And you're right if you are around my age, because in the 1950s, Eisenhower sent a commission over to Russia. And this is documented on what I'm telling you is all on our website, agenda21today.com. Eisenhower sent a commission over to Russia, a group of governors, to study the Russian school-to-work program because that created the fastest-growing population of people who were capable of being worker bees and working for the government. So when that commission came back in the 60s, they rewrote the education and trained people like myself when I was a teacher of how to psychologically manipulate the kids and push them into these slots so that they would grow up to be the worker bees who would accept whatever the government said. And by the time in the 80s, with Shirley, they created the school-to-work program, which was the Soviet career cluster school. Take it out of the Soviet Union, put it in America, right there. The career clusters, only they didn't call it that because they didn't want to have any linkage to the Soviet Union. So the school act that was written under Carter was school to work, and then it became Goals 2000, and then it became No Child Left Behind, and today it's Race to the Top. And in reality, it's the same exact program. All they've done is taken out a couple of names, taken out a couple of dates, made it current, and handed us back the same garbage. So our children have flatlined for 30 years, no matter how much money we spend. And, of course, we're bad people if we take anything out of the education budget. How could we do that? When in reality, we should be demanding, as you have done in Texas, so your kids have a shot. They really do. Your commissioner of education was magnificent, and he recognized that, and he changed it, and he said, no race to the top in Florida, in Texas. We should be demanding a factual, classical, American education so that our kids today, when they graduate, when they pass out of the eighth grade, they could take the eighth grade test that anybody could look at that's online from the 1930s, 40s, and 50s and pass it, because today they couldn't even come close, even after they graduated college.
Yeah, they wouldn't understand the terminology of math, because
exactly.
Lord knows I don't understand the crap they're teaching today.
And you hit the right word. It's crap.
It's garbage in, garbage out. And I just say it like it is. And I'm going to go on to one other subject, and this is people out there listening. If you don't think Agenda 21 is all over the place, go to UN.org, look at the colors that they use for Agenda 21. It's a orangey gold, a green, and a red. Watch your TV commercials.
You are so right.
Watch the colors. Progressive auto insurance, I forget what that stupid little bubble is that they're trying to convince people to put in the car and use so they can learn everything you do, where you go, how you drive, whether or not you should even be behind the steering wheel in order to get a cheaper insurance. Well, today I rolled. The guy is sitting in the car, and the other gentleman walks up to the driver and hands him money back because he did such a good job on his driving. And the $100 bill he handed him was orangey yellow with green in the center of it.
Our new color of money.
Our new color of money, exactly. Listen to the advertisements. Konica Minolta.
You are absolutely right on. I tell everybody now, when you watch television and sit with your kids when you're watching TV and start looking for the messaging, the subliminal messaging, because that's how it's reinforced. There was a dish commercial. And this one struck me really heavy. The announcer started in the beginning, and he said, "When you get your dish bill and it is overpriced, you feel powerless." Why on earth would you feel powerless over a bill from a cable company? Then the next show that was on, and I can't remember what it was, in that show, which was an hour long, the words, "you feel powerless," appeared three times. So four times the message to the people was, "you feel powerless." And that's how they're getting the people to be subliminally messaged and reinforcing the garbage that they're teaching in school. It's up to us to recognize it. And now I play a game with it. I watch a TV program that I've never watched before just to see the messages that they're giving out. And it is absolutely amazing. So when you realize that it's being done and you recognize it for what it is, a lie, then you can understand where all the lies are coming from and where all of the acceptance is coming from.
The light company, and I'm going to put this out there because I know other light companies, the CPU in San Antonio, and that's not what it's called, but they have an ad going telling people, and this is promoting smart meters. They never use the word smart meter. Telling people they can be the boss of their electricity bills. Mm-hmm. They can go on the computer and they can control how much electricity they use. They can control their air conditioner. They can control everything. And I'm going, oh, my God.
You are. You're right on that one also. Now, think about this. If you can control it from a computer, imagine what the power company can do and the government. Because in Europe, I have friends that live in Europe, and I have friends that live in the Middle East. And they tell me constantly, between, you know, certain times a day, for 2 hours, the electricity will be shut off. That's where we're headed. Because by 2015, all of the appliances and watch, they're going to have a cash for old appliances. Why do they want to do that? Because the new appliances are going to interact with the smart meters, so they'll be able to say, you're using too much hot water, so we're going to flip this switch, and between 10 and 12, we won't give you hot water. Something to that degree. They will be able to track every aspect of our lives. There is a show that's on, I'm trying to think of the name of it, Persons with Interest. Everybody
right.
should watch that at least once. Not because the content of the show is magnificent, but just watch the way they track the people. They're doing that now. They're doing it right now, today, with drones and with red light cameras. And now it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. But it's up to us to learn the truth, become educated, and then work with wonderful people like Sally and Neil to spread this message, and yourself to be vocal and spread the message, because the biggest fear of these people is our ability to talk to each other. And that's why they divide us, so that we can't communicate.
Well, cross your fingers, because this Thursday I am going to Austin. We're having a Public Utility Commission meeting. Missed our meeting. There was a suit filed by Mr. Mahler and a group of people out from Fredericksburg to stop the smart meters.
God bless you. That's wonderful.
And we're going to a hearing this week.
Please let Sally know how it works out.
Oh, I'm going ready for bear. Not that I'll get to speak. I'm hoping another friend of mine, Nancy Battle from up in the Hill Country, will be there. And between her and John Mahler and the others that are going to be there, I don't need to open my mouth.
Being there for support is just as important.
Well, I'll be there with my impeach Obama signs and all this crap. So thank you so much. You're a wonderful speaker. Neil, enjoyed listening to you again, and thank you, Sally, for letting me on.
Oh, hey, we always enjoy having your insights and your wisdom, and plus your sense of humor. What would we do without Ms. Texas? And, yes, you're going to definitely tell us. You're going to give us a report on how it goes in Austin. Tell Nancy I said hi. Yeah, you know, she's on the email. I think all of us are on some of the same email list. We share a lot of information.
Well, if I'm smiling when I show up, you'll know it went good. And if I'm not, you'll know it went bad.
Okay. Well, thank you on that. The other thing I wanted to mention, you know, we've talked about the complaints. We're trying to think of ways to go after Agenda 21 with the complaints. And to zoom in on the very details of what's going on with the United Nations and the destruction of our sovereignty, the destroying the sovereignty of this country, I don't know exactly how we zoom in on the right language, because there's definitely, they play so many games to CYA this and make it difficult. But there's bound to be ways, and we really need to focus in on the fact that they're surrendering our rights to the UN, which is dissolving our sovereignty. So that's the other. And
Sally,
we were talking,
one of the things that everyone can do is to Google the Aspen, ASPEN Institute. I just got this information today. I didn't get a chance to put it on agenda21today.com, but Google the Aspen Institute. Look at their mission. Their mission is to eliminate national sovereignty and to fold and to keep the borders open. Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
And look at the list of people who have, quote, gone through the classes in the Aspen Institute, and draw your own conclusions. Because whoever gets elected to office, and it better not be Obama, but whoever gets elected to office, our job is just beginning. We can't stop and think, oh my goodness, Romney got in office, and now we can go back to sleep for the next you know, 4 years, he's going to do the right thing. He's not going to do the right thing because most of it, he doesn't even know what the right thing is because they never tell everybody the whole thing. It's like a giant jigsaw puzzle, and each one of us has a little tiny minute piece, and we're never told how they interconnect to make this whole puzzle. So even our elected officials might think they're doing something good, but they have no idea that it fits together with the rest of the plan, which is horrific. So the resources are out there. The information is out there. It's our job to find it and then to alert our elected officials to say the right thing, to speak up at meetings. I mean, Sally, you're talking about transportation. How many times have you gone to meetings and in a community or in a county where there are thousands or hundreds of thousands of people, 20 people show up and a resolution gets passed and they tell you the community overwhelmingly supported it because 20 people showed up?
Yeah, and at the same time, especially again here in Orlando, the venues, the scam rail, everything else, they did their best to keep it off of a public referendum. That's the only reason why that stupid Amway venue got built, which is a waste of our money. It's the only reason, and Scamrail, we did vote against it. And I think we ought to be able to go for cause on that one, too. It's like, wait a minute, we voted down rail transit. We said we didn't want it. We didn't want high-speed rail. We didn't want this. So why are you taking our tax? Why did you vote and go and do this after we just told you via the vote that no? But they kept coming back up and said, well, okay, we'll put it back on the public referendum again. Maybe the people have changed their mind. They didn't change their mind. Town hall meetings that I went to, everybody was blatantly opposing it, but they just didn't care. Yeah, they said, we have the power. We are the king and queens and whatever. And so you, sir, just shut up and go sit in your corner. That's exactly the way they treat people, and that's the way they're going to keep treating Americans if we end up acting like a bunch of sheeple instead of doing the right thing. And, you know, going back to the Mitt Romney thing, yeah, the American comeback team, you people better go look and see what the American comeback team has been doing, especially, you know, Paul Ryan, yeah, he's been out there, you know, about the fiscal stuff, and I'm all happy that he's come to Jesus on this fiscal thing, and all of a sudden he cares about it because he surely didn't care when George Bush was there. But you know what? When either one of these candidates, and of course it's true with Obama too, but, you know, when you're talking to your candidates, why don't you ask them the simple question, what part of the Constitution are you planning on following? Because they're not going to follow the whole thing. They've trashed the Constitution. And so, you know, all you got to do, as what Ron Paul says, you know, when a bill comes up, I go and say, I check the Constitution. Is that within our powers to do that? Is that something we're allowed to do? If it says no, I vote against it. If it says yes, then I make a decision and I decide whether I think it's a good thing. It's that simple, but these people don't believe in governing by the Constitution. And I'll tell you what, you know, what you said, people are going to think that Romney gets in there, that life is good. You're a bunch of morons drinking the other kind of Kool-Aid out there, too. I mean,
yes.
There's multiple flavors of Kool-Aid out there. And, you know, and I truly fear that too many people will, oh, well, Obama's not there now. Oh, we're safe. Oh, blah, blah. We're not safe. You know,
well,
NDAA, you know, just the stuff that that Paul Ryan has voted on. And, of course, we know about Romney care, you know?
Yes. Well, the nice thing, if we could find one nice thing about Agenda 21, it's an equal opportunity hater, because people from both sides of the aisle can hate it equally. And believe me, folks, people who are at the top are running the show regardless of whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. It's irrelevant. And if your candidate on the local level, you have a lot of control on the local level, which is why they're trying to control the local level, because the buck stops on the local level. And if you have a sheriff who says he will follow the Constitution, and you have a school board that says we want a factual American education, and by the way, your school board does have power in most states over the curriculum. They don't have to accept anything. And if you can show them the textbooks are meaningless and are filled with garbage and the test scores haven't changed and et cetera, why not try an experiment? Why not try another form of education? everybody that is within the sound of my voice. We have the curriculum from Texas. They are willing to share with anyone. So the curriculum is done. We don't even have to worry about that. We just have to recognize that the only thing that will help our children learn is when they get real information and the truth. Otherwise, we are working with values, and values change on a regular basis. And that's the problem. And that's why they're teaching values. So they could say, oh, well, we're going to do that this way today. And then tomorrow we're going to do that that way. And by the way, how do you feel about math? Isn't math fun? And today, 2 + 2 could be 5 because you kids decided that that's the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way it works. Our truth is concrete. It's real. It's something that you can count on, and you can base your decisions if you know the truth. But if you don't know the truth, it would be like playing a football game, and every time you go and kick a goal, somebody moves the goalpost. How can you play the game when the goal is being moved, goalpost is being moved all over the field? You can't. So our laws are concrete. Our Constitution is concrete. We can't say it's a living, breathing document because that's changing the rules. How could you play poker if every time they change the rules and today a pair is going to beat two of a pair because they feel like it? That's not the way this works. America was made for individuals to be equal under the eyes of the law, to be granted their rights by their creator, never to be taken away. That's the most important thing that we have to instill with our children. And if we don't do that, then we will not be able to go forward as a free nation. Sally, I was at a meeting this past weekend, and there were people there from Cuba. And they were fearful. They cannot believe that America is following the lies, just the same lies that Castro gave to the Cubans before he took them over. And that is so important. They will try to disarm us. They will try to teach us that the Constitution can be changed for different people and that nothing is real except what you feel today. That's not the way society works, and that's not the way our country was built. And we have to go back to sometimes relearn, and that's okay. Because we are all in the same boat. We have all been lied to. Our education has been destroyed. Our country is being dismantled. This is happening. It's a reality. So we need to prepare, and we can arm ourselves with the truth by learning our laws, by getting, as Chris Ann Hall always says, the 3 B's, the Bible, bullets, and bread. And if we have that, we can go forward. So we have to be wary. We have to be aware because nobody is going to protect us except ourselves.
Isn't that the truth? And, of course, you know, I don't know if we're going to have time to get into the discussion about the ammunition stuff, but everything they're doing on the gun control, I mean, it's all a plot. And it's like freedom isn't free, people. That's why empires fall, and that's why the Roman Empire fell, because people were, back a days ago, they just turned the other way, and they worried more about a stupid Super Bowl game than they worried about the Constitution. And, you know, and if that's what's going to happen to us. It's like, okay, well, you're all fat and happy and drunk watching a football game, but, of course, you know, don't expect to do anything else unless you get permission from the powers that be. It's a sad state of affairs in many ways, but I am glad that we are waking some people up. I'm glad. I think we are making progress, not as fast as I would like.
We are. We really, really are. We are getting continually more and more people are signing up. They're getting our newsletters. You're getting more and more people listening to the radio. They're listening. They're understanding. They're seeing it happen, and they're knowing that we're telling the truth. And it doesn't matter what happened yesterday. We can't change that. It only matters from today forward what we do, because the future is ours to mold. And if we base the future on lies, then what kind of a country are we leaving our children? If we accept lies, I mean, Obama is the biggest liar I have ever seen, and I always ask the liberals, you can catch him on a lie, you can say some lie, and you get them to agree that he lied. And then I say, do you have children? And they say, yes. why would you want your child to have a liar as a role model? Because that's the office of the president. If the president is lying, how can you expect your children to tell the truth? You can't. Don't hold the president for a lower standard than you hold yourself, unless, of course, you are accepting lies, and then there's really no place to go. So we've got to learn the truth, practice the truth, educate ourselves with the truth, and share it with others, and become people, become individuals, because America was created on individualism, a group of individuals who succeed and become the best they can be, grouping together to do incredible things. That's what America is about, not a group of mediocre people getting together in a group, making sure that everybody shares everything equally, whether they work or not. That's not America. That never was, and we should never let it go there.
We're supposed to be a people of values and work ethic. Oh, if you don't, if you choose to work at McDonald's all your life, and you know, and you're happy living in a small apartment, and that's what you want, then you go for it. If that's what makes you happy. But you know what? If I want to go and work three jobs and earn some extra money so that I can buy some land out in the country and have a ranch or whatever, I mean, I should have that right to do that too. And Agenda 21 says no, you're not allowed to do that. That's not sustainable. What about the stuff that's coming up? We're down to about 5 minutes here. The event that's coming up on September 8th, do you want to go ahead and give everybody a little bit of an update and if they want to participate?
Sure. In Miami-Dade on September 8th, we're having an agendas conference. We're having another one in Pembroke Pines on the 14th. September 30th, we're having an agendas conference in Pinellas County. All of this is on our website. But our big rally on October 20th, that's where we need everyone, because, folks, if we don't get the United Nations out of our business and put them back in the little box that they belong in and keep them out of our country, we won't have a country. So the October 20th rally is in Tallahassee so that we can tell our legislators that we're not going to follow. It's our money. Why are we giving our hard-earned money to the United Nations so they can disperse it to people that hate us and vote against us and don't vote for any type of democratic process at all? Why are we doing that when we have Americans living in America in cars and trucks and going to bed hungry? Are we that stupid? We can't do that anymore. We have to control our own wallets, we have to control our own legislators, and we have to show them. You may be getting money from some special interest group, but they don't have our votes, and it's our votes that are going to count. And that's also very important, Sally. Everybody in this election has to vote. Elections have consequences. And when I say that, I'm saying that with a smile, because in my county, a really good guy won by 3 votes. Imagine that.
Oh, yeah, isn't that sweet? Well, that's excellent. And, of course, part of our campaign out here with Charlie and I are doing the We the People versus that ballot box, because we know the ballot box establishment. The ballot box has been so corrupted that we don't, you know, at the local level, you've got a little bit more control, but people have to understand that ballot box is manipulated too. But we've got to start there too. I mean, it's we have a lot of work to do, but make sure you understand the corruption of that ballot box too, which is part of this problem. It keeps the people in power, even though, you know, good people, good honest people, it's very difficult for them to run against such a corrupt system. But we've got to help force them. We can still do the vote, but we've got to do the extra work to make up for all the money that we see that gets wasted by the political parties kind of thing. So, okay, well, that is excellent. We're down to 90 seconds here. Neil,
well, Sally, thank you. You have been magnificent in helping us share this message. Thank you over and over again. And every question, folks, is not a stupid question. Don't want to hear that. You got a question, you let us know. We'll be happy to work it through. And if we don't know the answers, we'll help you find it. We've been lied to, and it's time for it to stop.
Absolutely. Time to take back our... And Neil, thank you for coming on the show. And we're going to do this again. I don't know that we'll do this on Thursday. I think we've covered a lot today, but we'll reschedule to when we want to continue this discussion, because as we all know, Agenda 21 is massive. It's complex. And we want people to call in and put their comments out there and ask us what they're thinking, if they have any questions about it. Knowledge is power.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. Great show.
Charlie, thank you all for having us on. And go to agenda21today.com, register and get our newsletter, go on Sally's website, make sure you read her incredible information.
I sent stuff to Ida and Fern. Ida and Jose.
Wonderful.
I got them enough to keep them busy for the weekend.
Well, they are our typical example of how our government is stealing land, and that's a sad story.
If they got minerals under their value, they own the minerals.
That's right.
That's right.
Yep.
Remember, you own the ground above you,
you
below
ground,
you, and the air above you.
You are absolutely right.
Yep, and
thank
that's
you.
Just one thing. If they're trying to steal that, then that is attempted theft.
Yep.
All right. Take care.
Yep.
God bless.
Okay,
bye.
Well, Charlie, on that same note, we will definitely follow up when we talk about the complaint on Thursday's show. We're going to talk
right.
about how this runs into this. So let's go ahead
right.
and take that up at the beginning, because technically we're off the air. Anybody who's listening through the Internet can't hear us now. Those who are still on the phone can, and I hope it's still maybe recording the tail end here for the archive. But on that note, thank you so much. Thank you, Ms. Texas, for joining us. Thank you, Neil and Karen. This has been excellent. And,
oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
To all of you out there listening, please remember what we're saying. It's up to us. We've got to take back this country. Do not expect any elected public servant to do it for us. We have to do it. We have to demand it. And if we don't, it's just we're going to continue on the path we're on now. Bankruptcy is not an option. So please get involved. Get the knowledge, go to your public meetings, make sure they see you, do something. It's up to us. File the complaint. We're going to talk more about that on Thursday. And as always, may God bless the USA. Good night.